Amen.
We're thankful today that He is an unchanging Savior. Let's turn to the book of Jude this evening. The book of Jude. I was thinking, it's amazing how the Lord just puts everything together. I was sitting there as the young ladies were singing, and I thought, man, I said, if you don't have a heart of worship after listening to that, we need to get the paddles. We need to get those paddles. They're singing, and I'm telling you, every line they sang, I was like, man, that's good. That's better. I mean, can you have levels? I mean, it was amazing. Once you're saved indeed. And then that song we sang, thank God I am free. Thank God I am free. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Jude. I want to look at just a couple of verses, and then we're going to look at some of the chapter in the book of Jude. As you're turning there, we are excited about what the Lord has done. And I just want to reiterate what Pastor Nick said this morning and this evening. We are excited. Our house is going to be open on Saturday to those of you that can make it. I know it's the end of the summer. I know a lot of folks have vacation and different things, and it's hard to try and plan something like this and try and get everybody to go. But, you know, we just really want to be thankful first to the Lord for all He's done. It's just remarkable how we've seen the hand of God work over the last 14, 15 months and how He's used each and every one of you in our lives. Encouragement, just words of encouragement, a friendly smile. Hey, we're praying for you. You have no idea what that means when you're going through something until somebody comes alongside you and puts their arm around you and says, hey, you know, whatever you need, you know, and it just means the world. And we just want to rejoice in what God has done and rejoice with you. You know, you're as much a part of our lives, as much a part of this as we are. And so we are thankful for each and every one of you. And this is just a small way of you know, thanking you and rejoicing with us. Amen. So if you can make it out, great. If you can just stop in for a few minutes, that's okay too. Jude. I was going to say Jude chapter 1, but yeah, it is Jude chapter 1 and the one and only chapter. We're going to read two verses. We're going to start reading in verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for just the wonderful music, the glorifying music that speaks of the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, what a wonderful Savior we have. And Lord, when we think of, Lord, all you've done, and Lord, just the price that you paid, Lord, we're just humbled before you, Lord. But also, Lord, we're just excited about what you've done. Lord, we're thrilled. And Lord, we pray now that you'd be preparing our hearts to worship worship you through the preaching of your word. Lord, help us to just have open minds, Lord, that the distractions would be put aside for the next few minutes. Lord, help us, Lord, as we study your word, Lord, use me, that the words I speak be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord put this on my heart about 2 months ago. Pastor was preaching, and something just came to my mind about that phrase, contend for the faith. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I put it in my Bible, and you know, I'd look at it a few days later, and I'd look at the verse, and I kept reading it, and I said, I don't know, I'm not sure if I, because when you read through this, it's a pretty serious matter that's being written about here, and I said, well, maybe the Lord wants me to preach on it. And then when, you know, Pastor spoke to Pastor Nick and I, and he told us about his vacation schedule, I said, well, that's what he'll have me preach on. And then I preached a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord put something else on my heart, but I couldn't get away from this phrase, and I think, as I started to read through this more and God started to really give me some things, I really started to think that, you know, based on things that are going on in the world today and based on the situation that we see ourselves today, you know, I just started to really get a sense of what God wanted me to speak on. And that is, listen, as Christians, it's time to contend for our faith. I think it's time. Now, you got to realize when this was written a long time ago. And even then, this was being spoken of. I think there is a greater burden and a greater need than ever before that we need to, as believers, stand up and contend for the faith. This is a warning. This is a letter not only of warning, but a letter of encouragement as you read through this. And as you read through the first 80% of this letter, you start to think, man, that's pretty depressing. That's pretty tough. But then you get to the end. Isn't that the way it is for us even as Christians? We're just pilgrims walking through this world, but you know what we're looking forward to? The end. The day when the Lord calls us home and we spend all of eternity in the presence of our Savior. This letter is written as a letter of warning. In Matthew 24, 4, Jesus says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And I think it's time that we understand that, listen, there are deceivers out there. And they come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. They come in all appearances. We've gotten to the place today where Scripture is being changed right before our very eyes. There are churches that once stood for the truth, that once stood by what is contained in the Word of God, and today believe differently. And they say, well, times have changed, and so I guess the interpretation of Scripture has changed? Oh, no. But see, that's what's happening. Well, people are living differently today, so we need to kind of reinterpret the Scriptures because obviously, you know, they mean something different. Oh, no. Deceivers. It's no coincidence that churches that also change are also in decline. And I don't say that with any pride. I say that with sorrow in my heart. When good, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, evangelistic, soul-winning churches decide to change the truths contained in the Word of God, decline is inevitable. There are those that believe that one day the whole church will believe the way they're trying to sway us to. You read it. Oh, it's only a matter of time. It's a slow progress. It's a slow progress so that we can get these ignorant, stubborn, bigoted Bible believers to believe the way we want them to believe. And unfortunately, some churches are being swayed. But can I encourage you that the church as a whole will never entirely believe that? They might believe that, but they don't. Jesus said, but those things which proceed, I'm sorry, I'm in the right verse, 16, 18, I'm sorry. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, people think that they're winning, but there is a day coming. There is a day coming where all these things will come to light, and the truth, they will see the truth and come to light. And you know what? It's a sad day. That's why we need to be burdened to reach the lost. We're not going to reach them with convincing arguments. We're not going to reach them by out-debating them. We're going to reach them with the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against, here it is, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, taking the truth, changing it, twisting it. Think about the things that are happening today. If you preach against sin, it is called hate speech. It's not hate speech. Listen, if I'm in sin, I want somebody to tell me. You know what that leads to? Repentance. Tolerance leads to further sin. Tolerance doesn't lead to repentance. Marriage is being redefined. The family is being redefined. And you can go on and on and on. And here in the book of Jude, it's a letter of warning. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. So let's look at this. The first thing I see here is a passionate plea from Jude, a passionate plea. Beloved, he says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. The first thing I see is the priority. There is a priority. Why would he write this? One chapter in the letter of Jude. And it is focused on this apostasy, this false teaching, these deceivers that were creeping in, changing the truths of God. Why would he focus on that in this one short letter? Because it was a priority. It's important to realize here, you know, Jude was doing something else when he stopped to listen to what it says. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He's saying, hey, I was writing to you. I was telling you. I was speaking to you about the common salvation. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, I'm speaking to you about the gospel message, how to be saved. Salvation through Christ and Christ alone. That's what I was in the process of doing. That's important. But he found it exceedingly important to take time out and say, listen, it's needful for me to write this to you. He talks about the common salvation. The common salvation means there's one way to be saved. And the first place that you see deception is that way. People want to have different avenues to get to Christ, different avenues to get to heaven. And what we need is a relationship with our Savior that can only, our relationship with God can only be restored through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It isn't through our good works, because the Bible calls our good works what? Filthy rags. It isn't through how powerful, prominent, prosperous we are. Because, listen, the Pharisees were all that, and Jesus Christ called them hypocrites. Generation of vipers. I've been called some pretty bad things. I haven't quite been called that yet. Give me time. It was a common salvation. There is no other way. Listen, I know that, hey, this is a Sunday night crowd. Most of us here will say we're saved. But yeah, you know what? We need to be reminded of that as we tell others, because there's a lot of different things out there. There's a lot of heresy being preached out there. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other prophet. There's nobody else. There's one name, and that's Jesus Christ. That's what was sung about tonight. All the songs we sang about spoke of Jesus Christ. Thank God I am free. He's a wonderful Savior. The song the girls sang, every one of these songs talks about Jesus Christ and his salvation, and it is only through Christ. Jude says, I gave all diligence to write unto you. In other words, he gave everything he had to let you know about salvation. Yet, it was needful that he have to tell him that there's other things going on. Jude was obviously a soul winner. I mean, he was given all diligence. He was focused on telling people about Jesus Christ, the common salvation. It was his heart's desire. But, there was other things going on that were important. He says this. The next thing is the exhortation. The priority was, listen, he stopped what he was doing for the importance. So in other words, hey, listen, I want you to listen up, because what I'm about to tell you is really important. And if you summarize this whole letter in one phrase, it's in those four words, contend for the faith. The exhortation, he says, it was needful. That word needful basically means it was necessary. It was necessary. His important work was interrupted, if you will, for something that he deemed to be urgent and of a needful nature. Why? Because, listen, people were being deceived. Believers, we need to wake up. We need to put our discernment antennas on high. Because there's a lot of things going on out there that sound like the truth, look like the truth, appear like the truth, and are heresy. And if we don't pay attention, we can easily be led away and led astray. And listen, it's subtle. It can happen in the subtlest ways. What is Jude saying? What was so important that he says, listen, I need to tell you this. It's necessary for me to tell you this. His exhortation was to what? Contend for the faith. He stopped what he was doing to tell them, contend for the faith. That word contend is like a battle. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But listen, he's saying, listen, this isn't just a, oh, come on, guys, yo, that's not right. Now, I'm not recommending we go out there and start fighting with everybody. But I think the idea that we just keep backing up, be careful, because we'll listen and allow anything and everything. How do we know? We need to stick to the truths contained in the Word of God. How do we know if that's true or false? If God says it's true, then it's true. Amen. Well, how do we know? What if we don't know? Listen, God has all the answers. You say, well, you know, sometimes, you know, it's an amazing thing. We say, well, the Bible doesn't specifically speak about that. Listen, the devil's trying to lie to you. The Bible may not specifically mention a particular item, but there are plenty of principles that we can apply to find out what it is God desires of us. I think if we search our heart of hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, oftentimes we already know the answer. But the devil's trying to convince us, well, maybe it's not so bad. There is not degrees of sinfulness with God. If we sin, we need to confess that sin. It doesn't say confess your bad sins. We need to confess all sins. The thing that was important to Jude, that he found it necessary to stop what he was doing, to tell the people that was necessary, is, listen, here it is, and I'm going to get into this a little more detail, but here it is, in a nutshell, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. So what is the faith that's being talked about? And that's the third point. It's not talking about personal faith. He is talking about the whole body of faith. In other words, what we believe. Doctrine. There are many, many things that are being spoken of today, which not only do they not line up, and I mentioned a few of them earlier, not only do they not line up with the Word of God, but are completely contrary to the Word of God. And I was reading some stuff. I was trying to look up some things about, you know, things that are going on in our world today. And it's an amazing thing. You know, I think sometimes we live very secluded when it comes to things like this, and not realize that there is a real enemy out there who is battling and fighting strong to knock the Christian down. And I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. I read things and I see, and listen, there's a lot of people blinded by Satan who are following right along. And I'm talking about believers and unbelievers. And there, some of the things that are being said, oh, the church is starting to fall in line. Just to throw that out there. Now, we kind of chuckle at that, but we need to be careful. Because you know what? Listen, yes, Ocean County Baptist Church has been here a long time. Praise the Lord for a pastor who sticks to the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, does not alienate from the Word of God. There's one Bible, one truth, and it's contained in the Word of God. But listen, there's a lot of brethren out there who are in good churches that were once good churches who are starting to fall. We need to pray. We need to listen as a whole, as believers, as individuals, and as Christians, to contend for the faith. You know, sometimes I'll get I'll see a message, a thing posted on Facebook, or you know, something on Twitter or whatever. People who I, you know, believed were solid, fundamentally sound, and I'm talking about, you know, preachers and just Christians alike, and something is posted, and I'm looking at it going, and I'm trying to read it and say to myself, well, maybe they mean something else. Then you start to read more stuff and you're like, where's that coming from? You know where that's coming from? Apostasy and heresy and sprinkling of a little lie here and a sprinkling of a little false there. And next thing you know, you get to this place where Jude has to say, contend for the faith. Stand up for what you believe in. Galatians chapter 3. And listen, I know we say, hey, listen, things are really bad in today's day and age. Listen, there's a lot to be said in the scriptures that were written a long time ago about this. So this is, listen, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 28, the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus as believers, and we all need to stand for what we believe in. What do we believe in? The Word of God. Everything we believe is there. We need to be careful of, you know, as Pastor Nick said, traditions that get elevated above the Word of God. or equal with, well, this, yeah, it's the word of God. It must be. Listen, be careful. We need to fight for what we believe in. And again, I'm not talking about a physical altercation, but we need to stand up. I think we sit back on the sidelines and watch things happen. And yeah, things are getting tough, but, you know, it's a struggle for everybody. Hey, no. Jude is saying it's time to contend for the faith. In Acts chapter 6 and in verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Listen, we know that Stephen shortly thereafter would stand up and proclaim the word of God and preach a great sermon, and for his troubles they stoned him to death. But you know what he was doing? He was contending for the faith. Listen, I was just talking to somebody, I don't remember who I spoke to, it actually could be somebody in here right now, I don't remember, but we were talking about some of the things that are going on around the world. And, you know, sometimes we keep saying, oh, you know, we have the freedoms to preach in this country. We have the freedoms to preach. Listen, that's changing. Go north of the border. Up in Canada now, okay, there are things that if you preach against, you could be thrown in jail. You preach against same-sex marriage, you could be thrown in jail. You preach against other things. You preach against, you know, one husband, one wife, you could be thrown in jail. There are laws in certain provinces in Canada right now. That's not on the other side of the world. That's just north of us. You see the lines being drawn in the sand in our own country. You know, during the political campaigns, it's the red and the blue states. And listen, there's always been that. But there is more of a divisiveness in our country right now than ever before. And listen, that should not be the case for believers. One faith, one Savior. We can stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen did not get violent. He's probably saying, yeah, but he died. Listen. Just everyone that takes a stand is not going to die. But Stephen here, the Bible says, full of faith and of power. See, he couldn't have done this on his own. He had the power of the Holy Spirit. He stood up before those that were against everything he was preaching on and proclaimed the truth. And he said, you know what? No. What you're saying and what you're doing is wrong. Here is the truth. And he continued to speak the truth. Jude gives a passionate plea. He says, listen, it's needful. I exhort you. Contend for the faith. Number two, it's a spiritual struggle. First thing we see is it's a believer's battle. The Bible tells us we are to contend for the faith. So what exactly does that mean? Listen, it means exactly what you think it means. Spiritually speaking. In 1 Timothy 1:18, I'm going to jump around for a few verses, follow along, or I'll just read the verses. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul says to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest, what? War a good warfare. So Paul is describing the Christian life as a battle. Now he doesn't send him out there armed with a gun or anything, but he sends him out there armed with the word of God. We are to contend for the faith, the doctrine, what we believe. There's going to come a time where we really need to decide what side we stand on. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime or your lifetime, but there's coming a time. 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul here again, what does he say to Timothy? Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Don't let them go. Don't let them change. Don't let them take them away. Twist them. Turn them. Corrupt them. Hold fast. The things that I've taught you, Timothy, hang on to them. Young people, listen, if you've been in this church since you can remember, be thankful. Be thankful because the things that are being taught outside of good churches, is not, it's something that's going to poison the hearts and the mind of young people everywhere. You need to know, I always used to challenge the teenagers, I used to tell them this, you need to know what you believe, why you believe it, and ask yourself, are you ready to take a stand? Listen, it's not enough that your parents know what they believe. Because oftentimes what happens? Well, mom and dad are safe, but the kids don't know what they believe or why they believe it. Read the Word of God. Stand on the truths contained in the Word of God. Listen, we're passionate about a lot of things. We'll stand and fight about a lot of things. Are we that passionate about the Word of God? Are we that passionate about our Savior? In Galatians chapter 2, and in verse number 5, Paul says here, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul's desire was that the gospel would continue with them. They're teaching the gospel. Listen, we want to make sure that the things we learn, that's why Sunday school is so important. That's why, you know, hey, we need to be in church whenever possible. Because it's a battle, Christians. It's a battle. He says, contend for the faith. That word contend, you're going to get now my 2 cents worth of Greek. So if I'm wrong, Pastor Nick, you can let me know later because I know you took like 4 years of Greek and I've taken like 4 minutes of Greek. So, but contend in the Greek, and I'm going to give this one shot, epagognizomai, thereabouts. I got all the letters in. Somehow they came out of my mouth, so we're good. But the word contend means agony or to agonize. So when you read contend, okay, it gives the idea of strong or vigorous combat. Listen, we can't go into this battle soft. We can't go into this battle half-hearted. We can't go, you know why? Because what happens when you go into a battle halfway? What's the first inclination to do what? To quit. Ah, this is too hard. Listen, if your heart's not in it, you'll quit. You need to go in it all the way. That word means to agonize. It was used, that word contend, was used in the Greek to describe a battle really between two wrestlers. That was the idea. Okay? If you've ever seen wrestling, and I'm not talking about, you know, this fake stuff, I'm talking about like collegiate, Olympic type wrestling, when they battle, they're going at it back and forth. I mean, if they're both equally matched, it's a struggle. Listen, they give everything they have, every ounce of energy, everything in their being in that battle. That's the idea. It's a strong combat. We need to agonize. And in the Greek word, it's actually a compound word. They put a preposition in there which means to earnestly contend. So not only do you have to agonize, but you have to do so earnestly. Basically, it describes or demonstrates the intensity with which Jude wants us to contend for the faith. He found it so necessary that he stopped what he was doing in order to deliver this message, which he felt was needful, necessary, important, and his message is earnestly contend. It's a battle. The Greek word here is in the present infinitive, which basically means that we're the subject, and the subject, it is a current action, present infinitive, that is continuous. Infinitive meaning it goes on and on. In other words, when we're going to contend for the faith, that's not something we do on Sundays, and then the rest of the week we don't. Is a continual present action that goes on and on and on, and it does not stop. What is the idea? Listen, let your guard down, and the enemy comes in. That's the idea. If we let our guard down, Satan is ready to swoop in. We're going to contend for the faith, and we need to stand for what we believe in. It needs to be a continuous action, a continuous battle. Listen, I'm so alarmed when I hear things and read things, and some of the things, it's mind-boggling. You read stuff and you're like, where is this even coming from? Contend for the faith. I think of the sports analogy. You know, the word contender is often used in boxing. Amen. I years ago used to follow boxing a little bit. Mr. Z follows it a lot more, more than I do. I know a little bit about boxing, but not nearly enough. But I, you know, one of the things you used to hear as an athlete in any sport is, what, you're either a contender or a pretender. I used to hear that all the time. You're either a contender or a pretender. Hey, which one are we? Are we contending for the faith or are we pretending? Listen, there's no other way around it. In order to contend, we need fire. Back in Jude, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. The idea here is, you know what? As the Spirit was directing this, the Spirit was leading him. It was the Spirit. You know, when the Bible talks about the Spirit constrained Paul or the Spirit constrained whoever, it was, listen, this is the Spirit is directing me to do this. And here's the idea that Jude said, listen, pay attention, wake up. There are things going on that you need to know about. And we're going to talk about them in a second. How do we contend? We contend by witnessing, by preaching the word. Listen, by encouraging the pastor who stands here and faithfully preaches the word of God day after day after day. It's tough. Listen, the attacks come. Listen, we're not the only ones under attack. I'm sure he gets more than most of us. I you know, you read about some preachers who stand for the truth and stand for what's right, and they have to walk around with security guard. That's the world we live in today. There was a time when guys like Billy Sunday would go from town to town and preach the word and have no fear. Now you stand up and preach the word and you got people threatening your life. Contend for the faith. You don't think it's a battle? Oh, it's a battle. We need to, how else do we contend? We live lives that support what we say. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, how do we contend for the faith? Don't give people any opportunity for our lives to be a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, they're waiting. You know what they're doing? They're sitting there with an unarmed gun waiting for ammunition. And the first time we trip and fall, oh, bam, load it up. And I know, listen, we're not perfect and we're going to stumble and fall, but I think sometimes we purposefully do things that might bring a reproach to the name of Christ. Let that not be named against. Let that not be named to us. Listen, if the Bible is true, if I took a survey and said, hey, is the Bible true? Most of us would say, yeah, of course it is. If the Bible is true and you believe that, then let's live like that. Let's live like we believe the Bible to be true. How else do we contend? That in our lives, the name of Jesus would be exalted. What does that mean? We have to suffer for him? It may, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. Listen, you live for Christ. Surrender your life wholly to him and let him do the work. His name will be exalted in your life. You don't have to worry about exalt. You don't have to make it a point to say, well, I'm going to. No, you just do what's right. Live according to the Bible. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ and let him worry about that rest of it. And you know what? When you do that, you know what happens? The name of Christ is exalted. Then Jude gives the warning against apostasy. And I'm going to go through this quick because we're running out of time. He gives the warning against apostasy. The first thing here is the subtlety of the enemy. In verse number 4, there are certain men crept in unawares. Listen, they come in many shapes and sizes, but, okay, we have warnings in the scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant for your enemy, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, that's what we believe, in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. There's an enemy who's seeking to devour you. The enemy comes in all shapes and sizes. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Be careful. Weigh it against the word of God. They probably fit in with everybody else. Charles Spurgeon said, Satan knows right well that one devil in the church can do far more than 1,000 devils outside her bounds. Think about that. But remember this, no matter what others may say, the truth will win out in the end. He goes on to say back in Jude, they come in unawares, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That word lasciviousness in the Greek means unbridled lust. It means excess shamelessness. It means outrageousness. It basically means, we often think of lasciviousness as morally being corrupt, but it also means doctrinally corrupt. In the context of what he's saying here, you know, they have no shame to corrupt the word of God and the truths of God. And that's what you see going on today. People will stand there, know what the word of God says, and argue to the death that that's not what that means. The subtlety of the enemy, the judgment of the enemy, you know, in verses 5, 6, and 7, Jude says, hey, I want to remind you of something. There is a judgment coming. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then in verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Listen, there will be a judgment. We need to stand up because, listen, Jude says, contend for the faith. We need not be afraid. Listen, the enemy will be judged one day. And then there's the description of the enemy. How do we know who the enemy is? Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Think about people that defile the flesh, what's going on out there today with all kinds of things. You want to identify who the enemy is? There it is. Despise dominion. People who disregard and hate authority. Isn't that what's happening today? You can't tell me what to do. I witnessed this at my old job, where a boss would tell somebody what to do, and then I hear them talking at their desk later. Who does he think he is? He can't tell me what to do. What? People who despise authority. That's why people don't want to follow the scriptures, because they have to fall under the authority of Jesus Christ. And when we don't want authority in our life, if we don't want the authority of our bosses at work, how are we going to fall under the authority of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ needs to be Lord and Master of our life. But if we wouldn't even want a boss 9 to 5, how are we going to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master 24/7? They despise authority. Why? Why do they despise authority? Because they're selfish. Listen, I want my way. I want to do what I want to do. I have my free will. Me, 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 me. Read Isaiah. Read Ezekiel. What happened to Lucifer? I will. I will. I will. I will. How did it end for him? Listen, that's pride. That's pride. We need to put ourselves away and surrender our will to Jesus Christ. And the last point, real quick, is the confident comfort. He doesn't leave us there. He wraps up through the next few verses. He talks about a bunch of different things. But when you get to verse 20, Jude is saying, okay, wait a minute. I've kind of probably scared them just a wee bit. But let me leave them with these words of encouragement. Isn't that great? Listen, sometimes we go through things and we read things like this, and you're like, man, that's a pretty somber message. And it is. And you know what it is? We need to be alert. It's like Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Let's be awake. But you can also be comforted. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. First thing we could do is be strengthened through the scriptures. Ephesians 4:29, Colossians 2:7. I don't really have time to read through all of these, but listen, the scriptures are a source of comfort. The scriptures are a source of you know, relief when we're dealing with the things we deal with in the world. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Hey, let's be rooted in our faith. Let's be established in what we believe. Continually, we are to grow in our faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world." What? Even our faith. We can be comforted by the scriptures. There's a confident comfort. There's power through prayer. There's power through prayer. "Building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Listen, it's the Spirit. When we don't know what to pray for, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us pray. When we don't know what to pray for, it's the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, that dwells within us, that helps us to pray. You ever get to the point where you need to pray for something and the words just won't come? Or you have so many things going on that you can't even sort them out? It's like you need like a file in your head to kind of sort through them all. But you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't need that because he knows and he prays for us on our behalf. He knows our infirmities. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ said, "I will send you," what? "The Comforter." He didn't leave us comfortless, but he sent the Comforter. There's power through prayer. And you know, I heard a preacher say, and I'm going to mess up exactly how he said it, but he said, you know what happens? When you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ, the responsibility is no longer ours anymore. And I know I kind of messed that up a little bit. Listen, we try and take all the responsibility. So I got to overcome. I got to contend. You know what? No, you ask God. You pray, "Jesus, I need your help. Help me to contend for the faith. Help me to be compassionate. Help me to love people, but help me to stand up for what's right. Ask and it shall be given." And if you cry out to the Lord, consistently crying out in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know what? He answers our prayers. And it's no longer up to us anymore. We have to keep working and we have to keep serving, but we've prayed, we've asked God to help us. There's power through prayer. There's the expectation of eternity. You read on, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Listen, we have a hope that the world can't understand. And then he says, how else can you be comforted? Remember, Jude started this out. He was in the middle of doing what? Sharing the gospel message, right? And he had to almost interrupt what he was doing to share this message. But look what he says at the end. He says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." You know what he says? Have a longing for the lost. Don't lose that. See, it didn't become a secondary thing in his life. He stopped for a minute because this was necessary, but he was right back to where the message started, and that is, listen, of some have compassion. Some save with fear, it says. Hey, listen, some people you can come alongside and gingerly, you know, lead them to the Lord. Other people need there's some people that have strayed and have fallen. There's some people that aren't saved and are caught up in all this false teaching. Listen, we can't rescue them from that, but Jesus Christ can. If we share the message with them, listen, I know there's people that we know who we love who are mixed up. Their doctrine is mixed up. And listen, we are not here to win a debate. We could sit here and write a 5-point outline and say, this is how I'm going to lead them to the Lord. I'm going to do this. I can convince them of this. We're not going to convince anybody. But we could pray for them. And we could beg God to use us and to change their hearts. And he can change their lives. And he can open up their eyes from being blinded. Of some have compassion. Hey, listen, we can do it compassionately. Some save with fear. Powerful, somber message from Jude. A warning to, hey, listen, there are things going on today. Read the papers. Read this. Crazy. But, we can be comforted. We need to contend for the faith. We need to stand strong. Let's not be weary in well-doing. And let's keep pressing on toward the prize for the high calling. Amen? Because listen, one day, it will be worth it all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the encouragement, Lord. Lord, you've challenged us to contend for the faith. Lord, there's so many that we know in our own circle who have gone astray. Maybe they've trusted in you at one point in their life, but now they've fallen. Others maybe don't even know you, Lord. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We're begging you, Lord, do something in our hearts. Use us, Lord. Lord, may the power of the Holy Spirit reign. And Lord, may the power of the Holy Spirit change lives, change hearts. Use us, Lord. Help it not to be about us, but help it to be about you. Lord, that others would see us and know that there's a difference. Lord, that we would contend for the faith by our lives, by our actions, and that all would see Jesus Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.